The Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We take a lighthearted look at all things Mac, and the Inside Mac Radio Program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the brand new Protégé. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV, if you have content that you have on a DVD and you need to get it off and get it into iMovie or Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Express, DVD Studio Pro, you name it, you need to edit it, you want to play with it, you need DVD XDV, you can check them out at DVDXDV.com. Our buddies over at MCE Technologies, do you have a Macintosh with a super drive? Maybe it's an old 2X, 4X, a DVD RAM drive, and you want to get this thing up to the 21st century with a super fast dual layer DVD burner? Well, you can check them out at MCETech.com. They're also an Apple authorized reseller, so you can get some smoking deals on new PowerBooks and, of course, the brand new MacBook Pro. MCETech.com. And our partners, Creative Pro, the greatest place to go if you want all the tips on creativity, on Adobe goodies, anything creative, you can check it out at creativepro.com. The National Association of Photoshop Professionals, with the coolest event coming up here in March, Photoshop World. Check it out at photoshopworld.com. Layers Magazine, if it's got a layer, it's in this book, layersmagazine.com. Our buddies over at Mac Update, the place to get your software updated for the Macintosh, at macupdate.com. The official printer of the Inside Mac Radio Program, Printing for Less. If you want stuff done quick, fast, efficiently, and you want to save a buck, deal with the Bobcats, Rocket, check them out, printingforless.com. And, of course, our buddy Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzz. You can listen to his programs on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. live at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
How you feeling?
Oh, man, I've got the flu. So, I'm just happy to be upright and that I made it. Oh, man.
So it's that time of year out there, you know, and you got little kids, and little kids are out playing with other little kids, and they get sick, and they bring it home and give you a present.
Well, they have immunities for everything, and so they're just carriers. So they just drop it on you and just wallop you.
Right, because they've been sick for years, and now they're going to school and doing all this stuff, and they have the immune bug to it, but like, you know.
Adults, yeah, they just get slammed.
Yeah. Ah, welcome. Thank you for making me sick. Hey, we got a pretty cool lineup today.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, we have, of course, Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, going to come on and talk about all the cool things going on in the land of post. We have Lori Abrams on. She's the dog painter. This is our Mac at Work segment. She paints dogs.
Painting dogs?
She does oil paintings of dogs, but she uses her Mac and iLife and iWeb and all these cool things to, you know, get the pictures of the dogs ready and deal with her customers. And, you know, it's a pretty cool little story. So Lori's going to be on.
It's the year of the dog.
It's the year of the dog. So we got the first, you know, first part of the year here. We got the dog painter on.
Oh, that's
We're going to have little Sammy Levin calling in with his cool Mac pics. We're going to have Xander Soren on from Apple Computer talking about iLife 06.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear from the man here. We're going to talk about iLife, cool new things in garage bands. You can podcast. I mean, we could talk about iLife 06 for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is amazing. This is like the best iLife they've ever produced. I mean, this is a huge, huge upgrade from last year's iLife, which was also, you know, really great. But they have fixed so many things and made it so much faster. It's just amazing how far they've come in a short period of time. I mean, this is, and they make it also universal binaries, which probably wasn't, you know, tremendously easy to get all of that stuff in.
No, and that's something I want to talk about, and I guess we can talk about it here. We only got about 50 seconds, so I'm going to save it for later because we have some time to chat. But, you know, one of the stories this week that Apple is accepting orders now for universal binaries for Final Cut Studio.
Yeah.
And it's going to be shipping. There's a smoking deal on the upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Like $199 or less.
Wow.
For the whole studio. So all you need is, if you have Final Cut Pro 4 or 4.5, you send in your DVD, the first disc, and $200, and you get studio.
Wow.
Universal binaries version of it, too.
Wow.
So in theory, this will work on a G4, a G5, or an Intel-based machine. Now, I want to talk about you about it, and I'm going to talk about Philip, too, about this universal gig. Is it optimized for one or the other? It's got both code sets in it. It's very interesting. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. Next up, Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we are seen on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. InsideMacTV.com. And this part of the Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the brand new hardware device called Protégé. This is a FireWire 1 gigabyte little deal. Your Mac will boot off of this. It's got Mac OS X on it. It's got TechTool Pro on it. It's got their partitioning software. Dude, a little thing on your keychain will boot a Mac. You can fix it. Radically cool. Won Best of Show, one of the awards at Macworld. So check it out at Micromat.com. Right now we have our buddy, the digital production buzzmeister, Philip Hodgetts on. Philip is going to tell us about all the cool things going on in the land of post-production. How are we doing, Philip?
Terrific, Scott. Did you listen to the bit where Brad and I last week were talking about sending every senator an iPod? This came out of the discussion about the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science and Transport hearings about the broadcast flag and how Senator Stevens' daughter had given him an iPod for Christmas and his attitude to digital rights management changed. Well, Brad and I hypothesized that Apple should be running out there and sending every senator an iPod so they get it. They understand what this broadcast flag would do in squashing creativity and restricting rights that we have now. Well, Apple haven't had the wisdom to take us up on it, but IP Action have. So they're running a campaign to send your senator an iPod.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So somebody was listening to us, Brad?
Yeah, I guess they were, you know. Or they just had the same idea and they weren't listening to us, you know. But that does sound like a great idea?
I'm taking the credit for it. I don't know about you, but I'm taking the credit.
Well, they should have one.
You know, I'm taking the credit.
Those goofballs are up there making these laws and they don't have a clue of what they're doing. The FCC's completely just blind and fooled. They're getting paid off. And they should have a dose of reality on what's really going out there with entertainment and what people are doing with these devices and this whole digital flag deal, and it's crazy.
It is crazy, and the quicker the senators realize what they're actually doing, and the representatives as well, another committee member actually came up week before last and said, do we really need this? You know, the dose of reality came into it, but the thing that's really making the difference is the iPods. And IP Action, you can find them at ipaction.org. In campaigns, iPod, it's Your Senator Needs an iPod is the heading. And they're up to 4 iPods already, so they're trying to decide which senators to send them to.
Yeah, which ones are the most out of touch with reality.
How many goofballs are up there? They need 150 iPods or something?
I think we have 104 senators, don't we? How many states?
We got too many senators.
Yeah,
but too many guys taking bribes, running, you know. Whatever, I'm not even going to get into that. This is not a political talk show. I've already been slapped in the face before for my comments. So,
well, let's get on to another contentious issue that I believe you guys spoke about last week, and that's the transition to Intel.
Yeah, you know, the whole deal. Apple now releases their cross-upgrade. Tell us about this, and I have a couple questions after you get done because, you know, I have a question about it. Go ahead.
Well, the good news is that Cinema 4D is already out there. It's the first 3D application that's Intel Mac compatible. They're always one of the first in moving to these upgrades. They've got a very nimble development team. But Apple, have dropped the individual applications, and you will only be able to buy the universal version of the Studio. So if you have a single application, you can't upgrade, you know, just Motion 2 to Motion 2 Universal. You can't just upgrade Final Cut Pro. You actually have to upgrade from whatever individual application or applications you have to the entire Studio. But the good news is they're making that incredibly easy by offering some killer deals.
They are. Now here's a question for you, as you know, just Intel lame-o, okay?
Yeah.
So I have a copy of whatever, and I see you can do this actually from Final Cut 4 or 4.5 to the whole Studio for $199. Now,
this
is a universal application, user binary. So in theory, this will run on a G4, a G5, and an Intel-based machine, right?
That's what the plan is.
Now, what have they done for this code optimization to make this thing work for both platforms? Is there like, Xcode dude.
Yeah, the thing about it is that there is, for years we've been talking about AltaVec and how great AltaVec is, and there is a similar set of vectorized instructions on the Intel platform, which is called SSC, but they are not compatible, and they are not easily ported. So it'll be quite interesting to see the performance that they get out of Final Cut Studio, because, you know, it really comes down to just how much of this this code they've been able to rewrite. And that'll be the thing, big thing to watch.
My question is on those. Let's say if I don't have an Intel box, let's say I don't want no stinking Intel processor in my Mac, and I'm going to stay with my G5 until they pry it out of my cold, dead hands. Okay?
Yeah.
Is this universal application, is it going to be like as good on a G5? Or is it going to be sort of maybe kind of weird because it's this universal thingy?
Well, I'm not a coder, but I believe that the G5 side will stay much the same. Final Cut is already being managed in Xcode, and they've already released some things that might work that way. I would expect it to work the same. I think you might want to hang on to that that dual-core G5 or the quad G5.
Quad, yeah. Because
Adobe are not going to give us any of our Photoshop, Illustrator, or for those video geeks, After Effects 7 as Intel binaries. Could be 18 months. It was going around this week of just how long it's going to be. The current versions will not be released in an Intel binary. You're going to have to wait until the next major upgrades. And After Effects 7 came out, what, January 17th?
Yeah.
So you're not going to get After Effects now for like 2 years. It's going to work on an Intel.
It could be 7. They often do a 7 dot, a dot release, a dot 1 or a dot 5, you know, 6 to 8 months after the release. But they have a big porting job to do, as Senior Group Product Manager Steve Kaliski says on his blog. They do plan to do it. They're not going to do version 7. It's a major development effort, and it's not only for them but all of their development partners, because you can't run an Intel-optimized Mac O, After Effects, and PowerPC plugins. So you've got to actually pick your entire plugins up to the next level and make sure they all match, because if you've got one PowerPC-only plugin, you have to run the whole application in the Rosetta emulation mode.
Yeah, see, that could be a little tricky going forward. That's why you might want to hang on to those quad G5s, which are excellent smoking machines.
I want a quad G5.
Oh, they're great.
Even I want a quad G5, although I really have got my eye on that new laptop, the MacBook Pro. I don't think I'm going to be able to resist. Oh, and DVD Studio Pro 4.03 gives us the full specification for HD DVD. So if ever we get a player, we'll be able to author it full spec on DVD Studio Pro. That's out this week.
That's cool. That's a neat thing there. You know, the whole DVD thing rocks, especially the high def thing is going to be very cool to see what happens with that. I'm still putting my money on Blu-ray.
I'm putting my money on Blu-ray, but it could be that the best format wins for all the wrong reasons.
I'm putting on my money on the next. I think both of these technologies are going to just not be adopted, and I think the next generation, the 100 gig or higher, is what's going to make it.
Well, you were talking about, Brad was talking about going to Japan here for the DVD meeting.
Yeah, because I'm on the DVD forum. I was toying with the idea of going over there and going to actually one of the DVD forum meetings. So I was thinking about doing it, but I haven't decided yet.
I don't know.
Go over there and knock their heads together and shake them up and tell them, hey, get their act together. But I'm agreed, you know, the holographic versatile disc could be the next big one.
Yeah,
but still, Blu-ray, man, 50 gig, that rocks.
I want it for backup. I mean, got so much data I just want to put on off my drives, stuff to keep.
You can buy drives now, but look at the media, is what, $50 a disc or something?
Yeah, that's really hard to justify. I mean, that's really tough. I mean, that's expensive.
Oh, well. Hey, you can listen to the Digital Production Buzz Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. live at thedigitalproductionbuzz.com. Thank you, Philip. We appreciate it.
No problem.
That was Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, with all the great things going on in the post world. You can definitely check his site out. They have daily news there, too. Digitalproductionbuzz.com, or you can go to tupop.com and read it there. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Call. Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you want to take content off a DVD and use it somewhere else, QuickTime, iMovie, iDVD, DVD Studio Pro, Final Cut Express, Final Cut Pro, you name it, you can use it. Check it out. Even Avid applications, whatever. If you need to get that information extracted off a DVD, There it is, DVDXDV.com. Right now we have our Mac at Work segment. We have Lori Abrams on. She is the dog painter. How you doing, Lori?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So tell us, you paint dogs. You do oil paintings of people's pets on basically, I think, mainly dogs. And you use the Macintosh helps you with this. Tell us what you do and how you use the Mac.
Oh, I use the Mac extensively. I use it kind of like, like three categories: for marketing, for keeping in touch with the clients, and of course for all the bookwork involved. In the marketing aspect, I can take the various photos that I have of all the different paintings, and I've made beautiful brochures and pages and books and iPhoto. It provides a great resource for me. When I do a photo shoot of a dog, I will take, you know, hundreds of photos and video, and then I'll come back and I'll put them on the Mac in iPhoto. I'll keyword them to the client. So I'll, you know, organization is the key, because when you're working with many different clients and so forth, iPhoto is just wonderful for that. And then I take the video and import it in iMovie and burn myself a simple DVD to begin with. And what's wonderful is, as I progress with the painting, I can take photos and post them onto my home pages and now through iWeb, so the client can see the progression without actually having to, you know, see the actual canvases. Also, when I'm finished, what's really fabulous is I can make a DVD of the total portrait experience. And I've just started, you know, really, really doing that with each client, and they're just going crazy over it. And they're like, well, how did you do this? And I'm like, well, I have a Mac.
Wow.
Now, how long have you been actually painting people's pets? Have you been painting dogs?
I have been doing that forever. And, you know, I used to, when I would take lots of pictures, I would have to, you know, you go and you take them to get them developed and then get a styrofoam board and post all the pictures to look at. And this is just such an easier method. I can't tell you how much time it saves.
Wow.
That's great. Now you just started your own podcast, a video type deal about what you're doing. Tell us about that. You got the new iWeb with iLife 06 and you already have a podcast up.
Yes, I do. And it was, you know, I was rather scared, because what I do when I'm in there painting is I'm using, you know, really methods that haven't changed in 300 years. And then I come in here and I work on the iWeb, and this is totally so modern. Anyway, I was trying to figure it out, and I got my first little, it's like about a 2-minute iMovie posted on a, you know, a video podcast. And I just briefly have taken snippets of various, you know, paintings and kind of give people an overview of what I do. I know a lot of people in the dog world, so I plan to kind of keep updated through that. So a lot of clients kind of want to see what I'm doing. So
that's great. Now, Lori, we have about 40 seconds left here. How do people find out about your paintings, about your new podcast, about all those cool things that you're doing, painting dogs and people's pets?
Go to dogsbylori.com, and you can click on See an Expanded Collection of My Work, and it'll take you to my .Mac home pages. And from there, you can click around to the icon at the bottom of the page with the palette, go to the blog, or click on Email Me, and go from there.
That's cool. Hey, Lori, thanks for joining us today. That was Lori Abrams. She is the dog painter. You can check it out. You can actually send her photos, and she'll paint your animal for you. You don't even have to go where she's at. I think she's in somewhere in the Midwest, so that's very cool. Check her website out. Drop me an email at Inside Mac, and we'll fire you off.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be in insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want to upgrade that PowerBook SuperDrive, maybe in your G4 or G5, you want a 16X dual layer, cool stuff. Check these cats out. They're also an Apple-authorized reseller, so you can get smoking deals over there on PowerBooks that are already juiced up with faster drives, more memory, factory-authorized, full warranty. Check them out, mcetech.com. Right now we have Sam Levin on the line. How we doing, Sammy?
Fantastic, Scott. I'm headed to the mothership today, to Apple Computer, say hello to our friends over in Cupertino.
Oh, how nice. Yes, we have a few of them on the phone today later. What's happening in the land of cool Mac goodies?
Well, you know, a company that we all love, Altec Lansing, which I think is now a division of Plantronics, has come out with a new line of InMotion. They call them IM speakers for InMotion. Now, we all know that they're the ones that started portable speakers specifically designed for the iPod. Well, this new speaker is called the InMotion IM5. Actually, they have a whole line of IM, but the IM5 is $149.95. It is a very cool speaker that allows you to play every iPod that has a dock available. I think it's great. It's portable. It's AC powered as well as battery. You can travel with it on the road. It comes with a zipper case, so you can plug your video iPod or Nano into it. Even the Mini works with it as well, and they have a new shuffle adapter. I think this thing is very cool. It's called the InMotion IM11. Also, they have the IM3C, and that's $179.95. It's a little bit different than the IM11. The IM5 allows you to plug even video into the back of this device, so you can plug it into a TV. So it's a full-on smoking portable speaker from Altec. They also announced the IM9, which will be available in about April time frame. It's a heavy-duty, durable InMotion speaker for the iPod. Check it out at AltecLansing.com. They're available through Apple retail stores, Apple Online, and your favorite retailer. Also, Zitel has come out with their Hi-Fi Link. That's Z-I-X-I-T-E-L. Hi-Fi Link for iPod. It's an iPod dock that allows you to connect your TV. And just get this, it's $99, has all the cables, remote, and it's got SRS sound. So all those SRS built-in sound that you get on the Sony TV, this is built into the dock. All of the different dock iPods it will connect to as well. So your Nano, your Video, your Mini, it's pretty cool. Check it out at Zitel, Zitel.com. It's available today for $99.95. That's what we have today, Scott.
Hey, Sammy, thanks for that great information. You can check all that at InsideMacRadio.com. That was Sam Levin doing his cool Mac pick, so I appreciate that, Sammy.
You got it.
Cool. We'll talk with Sammy next week and with more yummy little goodies for your Macintosh. The IM deal, those guys at Altec Lansing are cranking out a ton of speakers. They used to have just the one for the little fold-up one.
For years, they were known as the voice of the theater, because they were basically installed in lots and lots of theaters, you know, around the world and around the country. Yeah, so they were a really strong speaker manufacturer going way back.
Yeah, now they're making yummies for the iPod, so that's very cool stuff there. And then they have the round bazooka tube one that you can see at the Apple Store. And they keep cranking out speakers. It's just, you know, everybody's got a speaker now.
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to get a piece of that iPod action. You
know? Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, Xander Soren, product manager for iLife 06. We're going to be talking with Xander in this hour, and the second hour, we're going to cover all things iLife. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. If you need to find out all the tips and tricks if you're creative, doing Photoshop, InDesign, PDF work, Flash, you name it, these cats have everything, a huge forum. Check them out, creativepro.com. Right now we have Xander Soren on. Xander is from Apple Computer, and we're going to talk about iLife 06. How you doing, Xander?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Scott?
Good. So tell us, you guys come out with a brand new package called iLife 06. This was introduced at Macworld a few weeks ago.
Yeah, brand new version of iLife. Pretty exciting. So, you know, as you know, iLife is the suite of digital media applications that come on every Mac. It's one of the things we do that really helps the Mac to stand out, because it makes it super easy to get the most out of all your digital devices and all that digital media that you start building up. But the new iLife 06 really takes that experience up to the next level. Not only can you continue to organize and enjoy all your, you know, your movies, your photos, and your music, iLife 06 is about taking that and sharing all that media with friends and family on the web, including all your thoughts, your opinions, your musical taste. So it's really about taking all those things in your life that are really important to you and getting it out there and sharing it with the world.
Yeah, and this new iLife 06 is a huge upgrade from iLife 05, and as what we want to do here is, Xander's going to join us in the second hour here, and in the second hour we're going to talk about GarageBand and iWeb, but today I want us to sort of go over the first part here, go over the overview of what iLife 06 entails, and then let's talk about iPhoto, because you've done so many new things in iPhoto 6. We could talk like an hour, at least in iPhoto, but let's roll on just the overview here. Of course, we know what iLife is. Now, iLife 06 is a universal binary. What does that mean?
It is. Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that's also really important to note is that we've got major upgrades to all of our different iLife applications that people are used to. So iPhoto, iMovie HD, iDVD, and GarageBand. There's a brand new innovative application that we have called iWeb, which lets you create really beautiful web pages, blogs, and podcasts. Now, as you know, we rolled out some pretty exciting new hardware at Macworld, which is based on the new Intel processors. So a universal application, which iLife is now a universal binary application, allows it to run great and natively on both the existing PowerPC-based Macs that a lot of people have and that we continue to sell, as well as these really fast, blazing new Intel-based Mac systems. So the universal lets you really take advantage of any Mac system out there, and ensures that the applications run really great and gives you that great Mac experience.
That is cool.
Yeah,
very cool. So let's hit off on here. Let's start off with iPhoto. Now iPhoto is completely new, completely all fresh. Tell us about all the new things in iPhoto 6.
Yeah. So one of the things that we really did is we focused on performance this year. So we rebuilt it from the ground up for incredible speed. So the things like launching and quitting the app, scrolling, zooming, just going through all your photos, super fast, very easy to get through even the largest libraries. Speaking of large libraries, last year we were excited to be able to say that we supported up to 25,000 photos in your iPhoto library. This year it's 250,000 photos. So
wow.
Quarter of a million photos. We think that that's going to cover people for a long time. I think we did some calculations, and I think if you shot a roll every week, you'd be covered for about 192 years.
Wow.
So pretty big libraries that you're capable of building in iPhoto. And we've got a really cool feature that lets you, as you kind of scroll through your collection really fast, we've got something called Scroll Guides. It tells you exactly where you are in your library, either by date, kind of the name of the roll. So some improved ways that you can kind of, organize and scroll through and, view your library.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed is, because I work with a lot of RAW files, and one of the things I liked about the new iPhoto was that in flipping through RAW files, it's a lot faster, because it doesn't have to do a conversion on the fly with RAW. It's not like a standard JPEG where it just reads it, but it looks like everything. There was a terrible problem that I had, which was basically you would, in the old iPhoto, you would just see the preview thumbnail, and it would take forever sometimes to update to get you the actual image. But it looks like that's been fixed now in this new release.
Yeah, people have been really excited about the performance, and it's something that's very noticeable throughout the application. But that's the things that make what we had last year even better. there are a whole bunch of brand new things that some things that people weren't even expecting that we're really excited to talk about. You know, one of the things is that now when you enjoy your photos and you're doing things like viewing them and editing them, you can work in full screen. Whereas, you know, in the past you kind of have your window, you know, surrounding it. Now you can see your photos in all their glory and take advantage of every pixel of your Mac display. And it's not like a slideshow where you're just seeing your photos. You can interact with it. You can do editing, including some new really cool one-click enhancements that we have to either improve on your photos or do some creative fun effects, you know, things like sepia and being able to do a vignette or some different effects to your photos. And you can do that all in full screen, as well as being able to, you know, if you've got a roll of shots and you want to kind of compare two shots or, you know, up to eight, and pick out the best shot that you're going to use for something, you can compare those on screen in full screen mode, which is really, really cool. One of the things that we're doing that's kind of taken the world by storm is something called photocasting. And photocasting is kind of like podcasting, but for your photos. So with iPhoto 6, you can basically take any album of photos that you have, and you can make those available to people through this photocasting feature. And what it essentially does is it publishes that album to the internet using .Mac, and then anybody in the world can essentially subscribe to your photocast album, whether they're on a Mac or a PC. If they're on a Mac and they're using iPhoto 6, they get an amazing experience because essentially that album shows up in their iPhoto library as if it was just on their computer and in their iPhoto library. So they have the high resolution photos. They can do whatever they want with them. They can edit them. They can make cards. They can print. They can make prints out of them. But the really cool thing is that the person that's published that photocast album can make some changes. So they can add photos. They can remove photos. And dynamically, it's going to update to everybody that's subscribed to that album. So you can imagine grandma kind of subscribing to my photocast of some of the albums I have of, let's say, my kid's baseball game. And then every week as we add new photos, she logs into, she launches iPhoto, and they're right there for her to use.
Do we need a Mac to participate in photocasting, or will it work with anything?
Well, you need a Mac to be able to create the photocast, so that's something that's unique to the Mac. You need the new iPhoto 6, and you need .Mac to be able to publish them. But the great thing is that once you do that, we're using open technologies. We're using RSS, so anybody on the Mac or on a Windows system can use their browser if it's RSS enabled, and they can subscribe, and they can still take advantage of being able to subscribe to those photos and to get them in the high resolution versions that you choose to publish.
Yeah, that's very cool because not everybody has seen the light yet and has a Mac.
We'll get them there.
Yeah, I think with the new Intel deal, it's going to have a lot of people are going to start jumping ship from the heathen box.
So we would love to see that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, now tell us, there's a brand new gig here with iPhoto 6 about the new iBook, the iPhoto book printing. Tell us about the new photo services that are available and how this all works with the new version of iPhoto 6 with the book stuff and the services.
Yeah, absolutely. So with iPhoto, it's obviously really easy to I can go and I can order prints online with one click directly from iPhoto. And in the past, we've had these awesome books that have been very popular. So you can kind of make these keepsakes and these really nice hardcover books as well as some softcover books in different sizes. This year, we're using some new advanced printing technology, so the books are looking even better than ever. They're using higher resolution presses. We're uploading even higher resolution images, so it's something that the books kind of look even more stunning. But in addition to that, we've got a whole couple brand new ways to share with some cards. So you're actually able to make either greeting cards or postcards right in iPhoto using these gorgeous Apple design templates. And you're able to bring in your own photos. You've got these really pretty colorful themes where you can customize them. You can add captions. A very easy way to make either birthday cards or invitations to your events and that kind of thing. And then also a way to be able to create wall calendars right within iPhoto. So similar experience to the layout that you have when you create your books, now you can create a calendar. You can create a 12-month calendar, obviously. If you start a calendar in the middle of the year, and you want to finish out that year, it doesn't have to be exactly 12 months. You can customize it however you want. And it's a calendar that's made with your photos. So, you drag the photos in, or you can have it autofill to fill all the different pages. You can even add your photos to individual dates. So if it's your daughter's birthday, you can throw your favorite picture of her on a calendar date, then put a caption next to it. And again, those are something designed entirely. You design it entirely within iPhoto. You use your photos and your memories, and then you just, with one click, you order it directly from Apple, and it shows up on your door. Beautiful cards, calendars, and books.
That's so cool that you can actually order cards now, because that's always neat to actually make, you know, custom, you know, holiday cards with like the family picture on it, or like you said, whatever.
Well, I think also the really nice thing is that you guys have upgraded the print technology, because I've created a lot of books in the past with iPhoto, and the images were okay in the books, but it wasn't like the best quality you could get out of like a really fine inkjet printer. And so that was always a little bit disappointing. And I'm glad that you guys have addressed that, because I always felt that the books needed to look a lot richer and fuller. I'm going to have to try this with the new books.
Yeah, we always try to raise the bar. When we first came out with the books, people's jaws just dropped it. You know, being able to, you know, for $29 get a book delivered to your door based on, you know, your photos. And now, once again, we've upped the quality. So now when you see them, they look even better than they did before. So it's something exciting where it, you know, shows that we're innovating in new places with new things you didn't expect to be able to do. But we still concentrate on the things that people love about the app, and we always try to make those better.
Yep, you're here with Xander Soren. Xander's going to be back with us in the next hour talking about GarageBand and iWeb, a very cool application that's part of iLife 06. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production. Post-production. Distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058. Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. With Photoshop World coming up here in about a month or so in beautiful Miami Beach, Florida.
Not a bad idea to go out there.
Hey, South Beach at the middle of March is pretty nice.
Yeah. Worth it just to say, yeah, I got to go learn something over there. I've got to go to this conference.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I went there. They did it in Miami, I don't know, a few years ago or something, and it was fun.
Yeah.
You know what's a trip there, though?
What's that?
Cockroaches are big, and they run down the street.
Yeah, and they can steal small children. Yeah.
Dude, I came up to one, and he didn't move. And he just like stops, and this like antenna's like, and I'm like, dude, I split. I'm like, no way, dude. I had moved out of its way.
Cockroaches with attitude. There you go.
They are. You know, it was wild. You walking down the street. It's like 7 in the morning, 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I look up at like the bank, walk in the convention center from the hotel,
uh-huh.
And it's like 90 degrees and 100% humidity at like 7 a.m. I'm like, whoa. I used to walk outside.
Bad start.
My glasses fog up. But, you know, it's a tropical environment, and, you know, it's fun, though.
Yeah.
South Beach was great. I loved it. I went to that little part where all the rest were right on South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All the clubs. You know, it's pretty fun. So if you want to go have fun, go to Photoshop World.
Yeah, I think it's a great location for it. They should just have conventions at beautiful places, no matter what. I mean,
they should.
That's got to be a given.
Why do they have them in Las Vegas? I don't know.
Maybe this, you know, it's like...
Only because I think there's big hotel rooms there.
Big hotel rooms.
They used to have a ton of conventions in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Now all that stuff's overflowed to I think all the Vegas.
Yeah.
And Florida. You know, there's a lot of conventions going on right now in like Orlando.
Oh.
Tons.
Wow.
So,
wow. Anyway. Yeah, that's if you're going to have conventions, let's just put them in nice places like Hawaii. You know, everybody come out to Hawaii or Fiji or something to that effect. That's where all the conventions, that's what it should be.
They should, but I don't think there's enough rooms there. That's the problem.
Yeah, it might be a little bit tough. Maybe the smaller ones, but it would be nice.
Yeah.
You just sleep on the beach. That's the way to go.
It is the way to go. Very cool stuff there. So that was great. Xander's going to be back in the next hour talking about GarageBand because that's really his baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And there's all the new stuff. There's auto-ducking, all the stuff for making podcasts now in GarageBand.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gal that was on, Lori, the dog painter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she stayed for like 3 o'clock this morning doing a video cast, you know, all tweaked out.
Oh, wow.
All right there in GarageBand, the audio and everything. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, one of the really interesting features that I liked about the new GarageBand is you can actually drop in a video file and you can create a soundtrack to a video.
Yeah.
So you basically can add your own dialogue, or you can add something, do a voiceover, you can add music underneath the tracks. But now this is a great tool for just doing some, you know, multi-track work with video.
Well, it's great because it has auto-ducking, so now you can just have a bed of music playing, and you start talking, and it notices this, drops the volume down, it auto-ducks the volume on your music deal.
Yeah.
And you can talk, and when you start talking, the music goes back up.
Oh, yes. And it's universal binaries.
Yeah, so it runs on everything.
Oh, yeah. Really nice.
It is fast. I mean, maybe that's the whole case with the Final Cut deal is going to be like iLife. It'll be smoking fast on whatever machine. And
I think the thing about it
I'm
is
I'm just wondering how the whole open binary, you know, deal works when you have two sets of code within an application. Is it just in the file and it just says, okay, we're on a PowerPC, and it loads a code base for
right.
that?
Right. This is exactly what it does. It
because
just
you've already ported some stuff.
Yeah, I've already done some porting to it. And so basically what it is it reads a header, and then it jumps to the binary that's appropriate for the architecture that you're using.
So the application gets a little, did your stuff get a little more plump, a little fatter because it had two code bases in it? Or were we talking like 100K?
Maybe? But the actual stuff that gets loaded into memory is no different.
Really?
So it's just, it doesn't load the whole thing into memory. It just loads the portion into memory that actually pertains to your
So all these
system.
Universal deals that are universal have two sets of code base, and it knows when you fire up the program, you launch it.
Yeah.
It reads and says, hey, I'm on a G4, G5, G3, run this code base. And it loads that and doesn't load the other one.
Yeah. You know, what you also can, we'll talk about it later, but it is quite good. I mean, the universal binary is a really good structure for doing
that. That's a great way to do it. You know, make your stuff where it's completely compatible on everything. That's really cool. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be back after this break. We're at the top of the hour. Next up, we got a ton of great stuff. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Linda Weinman, the founder of Lynda.com, LYNDA.com, and the producer of the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival, which is happening February 27th through March 2nd in Seattle, Washington at the Washington Convention and Trade Center. The conference has been in existence for 6 years and has had over 20,000 attendees during that time. Adobe is the platinum sponsor of the event this year, and the Seattle show marks the first public event since the Adobe acquisition of Macromedia was finalized. Kevin Lynch, Senior Vice President and Chief Software Architect of the Platform Business Unit, will be delivering the keynote at Flash Forward. As well, Adobe has created an Adobe Technology Room where you'll get to meet with the Flash, with the After Effects, and the Audition development teams. If you're interested in learning about Flash video, you'll find all-day workshops covering everything from codecs to bitrates. For those animators who use Flash, be inspired by the founder of JibJab, the Chapman brothers who created Homestar Runner, and the team from Hallmark Cards that make stories for Hoops and Yo-Yo characters. If you're interested in creating games, we have sessions that deconstruct the Nintendogs website and sessions on creating your first game and gaming logic. For those who are into motion graphics, we'll be celebrating 10 years of ResFest with founder Jonathan Wells, showcasing work from Digital Kitchen and Jacob Trollbeck. Or perhaps you're interested in an all-day workshop on Flex 2 and ActionScript 3, or you still can't wrap your head around ActionScript and want to take a workshop on that. We have legends speaking like Larry Lessig on digital rights and Creative Commons, April Griman, one of the premier graphic artists in the world. Our International Film Festival showcases the best Flash work on the web today. Our sponsors and exhibit hall bring the best tools out there for the Flash developer and designer. Check out our program at www.flashforwardconference.com. If you do decide to join us, which I hope you will, take $100 off the price by entering Inside Mac for 3 and 4 day passes. If you want to immerse yourself in Flash, learn about the future plans, meet the top developers and designers in the world, the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival is the place to be.
You are Inside Mac. Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this week we're taking a look in depth with iLife 06. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. I'm here today with Brad Wright. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great, Scott.
Hey, this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Layers Magazine. So if you have an application that has a layer in it, i.e. everything Adobe, check it out. They talk about everything, even PDFs. Cool stuff. LayersMagazine.com. Hey, we've had a great show lined up for everybody already. We had Philip Hodges on earlier talking about the digital production buzz, his weekly post news segment. We had Lori the dog painter on talking about how she uses her Mac at work. That's our little Mac at work segment. So if anybody's listening, use a Macintosh at work, drop us an email at radio@insidemac.com. and we'll have you on and talk about what you do. We've had the, we had like Santa on, the toy maker guy.
Oh, he was great.
WoodenToys.com.
Oh, he was great. Yeah.
That
he
was
got
cool
a huge
stuff.
Increase in his business after we did that segment on him.
Yeah, that guy makes like toys your kids can beat and kill, and they're not plastic and they won't poke your eye out, and it's cool stuff.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, it's wood.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. And then Sammy was on talking about speakers for the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
We had Xander Soren on, the king of iLife over there at Apple Computer, talking about, you know, we talked about what iLife is and we talked about iPhoto. Coming up here in this hour, we're going to talk about GarageBand and iWeb.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a smoking deal. $79 for iLife 06.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we talk about
you played
about
with just the new version of iMovie's worth that.
Yeah, you know, I really like the fact that you can open up two iMovie projects at once now. Import is much faster, so if you're dropping in clips like as in from a DVD, you know, with DVD XDV, you can drop clips straight into iMovie and it works a whole lot better. It doesn't crash and burn sort of like iMovie 5.0 did. It's so amazing. And then they have all of that Quartz Composer type of stuff with 3D that you can make titles and everything. And I'm hoping that people get jump on the ball with that and start making some really cool customized stuff in Quartz Composer. It's nice. I mean, you have to look. This is almost like 2 years, I would say, of upgrades that they've done in the past in just 1 year. I mean, this is just a major improvement in iMovie and iDVD and all of these applications.
Yeah, you know, we should try as a test of the Apple Movie Publishing System. We should create one of our Inside Mac television segments, do it all iMovie.
Yeah. Yeah, I like iMovie.
Not do it in Final Cut. Don't use all the cool guy stuff. We're just going to shoot a segment and let's try to put it together in iMovie and see. Because that would just show the test of what you can do with iMovie. It'd be cool.
Well, it's pretty good, but I can't get away from my three-way color correction in Final Cut. I use that extensively, especially when you get things down to an iPod, which is so few pixels. You need to really, really crank the contrast on those images to get them to look right.
Well, pretty soon it's going to be sunny here in beautiful San Francisco, and we're going to go out running around.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get some really nice, bright, nice, happy, sunny day. And
yeah, get over this rainy, foggy nastiness and just
get out
there.
Yeah, we want to get out of the studio. We like to be live. We got a new run and gun camera, and we want to get out there and
show you the great sights around San Francisco. I mean, it's a beautiful city. I mean, if for anybody listening there, it hasn't been a chance, been here yet. San Francisco is a gorgeous city, and there's so many nice landmarks that we could shoot in front of.
Right, so we're going to go around and do that, and then people hopefully won't whine about, you know, sitting there looking at something or my black shirt.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, somebody's always going to whine about something. I think I've resigned to that fact that you're never going to please everybody.
No, you can't. You know what's strange is the only body that sends, you know, very few. Now, I'm not saying that everybody, because I get some really great comments from people, but most people that send email are just whiners.
Yeah.
You know, they just want cheese for their wine.
Yes.
Yes. People don't call and say, hey, you guys rock. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, you're a loser. Thanks, brother. Cool. You know? But I do get people that email. Prison. I do get people that email that do have positive comments. That it's very cool. And I will figure with the amount of volume that we're pushing, you know?
Yeah.
Inside Mac is up to almost 200,000 listeners daily.
That's just
so
huge.
You know, it's crazy stuff. But if you have any comments, you're welcome to send those to me at radio@insidemac.com. We love them all, good, bad, or indifferent. Anything for the show, like I said, the Mac at Work segments, you name it. We want to hear from you, the listener of Inside Mac Radio. Like I said, radio@insidemac.com. Next up here, we're going to have Andrew Darlow on. Andrew's going to be talking about Lightroom and some other cool little goodies. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now
at 800-490-0058.
Or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to fix your computer? Do you want to make sure that all the little software programs are all updated? Do you need some universal binaries? If you do, you need Mac Update. Check them out at Mac Update. InsideMac.com. Brad.
Yes.
Let's talk about storage. You know, we've been talking about video. We got the new, you know, and I think this even applies with the new iLife, with the new iMovie is, you know, Macs come with huge hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
Even the laptops are shipping with like 100 gigs or bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, you can fill that up pretty quick.
Oh, yes.
Just with applications and stuff.
Just,
I mean,
just
I have
photos.
Yeah. I got an 80 gig drive on my PowerBook here, and I got like 5 gig open.
Yeah.
I'm like bouncing at death as it sits.
Yep.
You know, you need more room than that just for a scratch disk.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about storage. You know, there's you can buy FireWire drives. There's FireWire 400. There's FireWire 800. There's even now, if you have a PowerBook, they have a serial ATA card that goes in a PC slot
mm-hmm.
that lets you run SATA drives.
Yep.
There's SATA 1. There's SATA 2.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about this stuff and what does this all mean and what do you really need in a way of storage? Do you need the SATA 2 16 card, 16 lane PCI Express deal with this huge rack mounted deal with little fiber cables and blinky lights? Or can I just buy a FireWire 400 drive from some retailer and just plug it in and go? What do I need?
Well, I think you always need the fastest storage possible. I mean, whatever. I mean, that always is an advantage going with SATA serial ATA. I mean, you look at Apple, they've gone completely SATA into the new Intel iMacs. And then with the MacBook Pros and, of course, with the adjusted card, you can get a SATA card for that. And I think SATA is really probably the best technology right now out there. And
well, did you see the MacBook Pro?
Yeah.
The laptop is SATA drives in that.
Yes.
Little mm-hmm. miniature SATA drive.
Yeah. I mean, the drives itself haven't changed. What changes is the actual interface between the computer and the drive. And so you can transfer data at a much faster rate, less load on the CPU, less waiting on your applications. And this really does become a factor as you start getting into basically 250,000 photos in iPhoto, because you're scrolling through those things. You want to access each photo really quickly. One of the things I really like, what's coming out with SATA, is these port multipliers. So you have one cable which can connect up to four SATA drives. And that's really, really slick, because I have a SATA RAID at home, and I have a cable coming out of the G5 into each drive. And so there's just this cluster of like eight cables in the back of my computer, all just waiting to get disconnected, you know, with a breeze, you know, blowing across the back, you know, they could just pop right out. But you got these things like the new port multiplier cards from Sonnet. And now you can basically connect 20 drives through serial ATA, and that would be only four cables, because I believe it's five cables per drive. And that's really nice. That cuts down on the clutter and increases the reliability for these storage devices.
Yeah, that's definitely neat. Like you said, I like the one cable deal. Who was that company we saw at Macworld that had the one cable solution?
Oh, I think a lot of them have it. You know, Sonnet I know has it, but they're all really expensive. I mean, one of the things about it is that you know, all of these things are quite expensive, and they'll come down in price. That's at least what I'm hoping. One of the things that's nice about Sonnet, though, is that it's a company that typically does a lot of, I mean, basically they know Macs. They're not like a company that just adds on a Mac product. I mean, they design it from the ground up. And so you got a pretty good chance of everything working and running very smoothly with Sonnet's cards.
Yeah, their stuff's good.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it's still, you know, if you're not doing anything too complicated, you know, FireWire 400, FireWire 800 is still a good way to go.
Yeah, now when you can, and of course you can RAID FireWire 400 and 800 drives together.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get the throughput bandwidth that you have with the SATA deal, because I think with FireWire 400, you're going to get what, maybe 35?
No, you probably wouldn't even get that much.
30 megabits.
I forget how much is the protocol overhead and those whole things, but it gets depleted pretty quickly.
800 is faster.
Yeah.
But still, it's not like SATA.
No. SATA is just 150 megabytes a second. So SATA, and actually SATA 2 can go much faster. I'm still trying to get up to speed with these specifications in storage, but it's all a little bit confusing. But the SATA 2 is making big, big leaps in the drive interfaces. And so where in the past you had to use things like Fibre Channel to get the speed, and they were just really expensive, and you had to run fiber cables, which, fiber is just, you know, fiber optics are just terrible to work with.
Well, what's the spec now with the video deal that's dual link HDSDI?
Yeah.
That's like, you know, 4444, and I've seen these guys run this stuff at in the AJA booth, buddy Ted Chilowitz and these guys, mm-hmm. and they'll run dual fiber cards, dual fiber to an extra RAID. I mean, we're talking throughput that's huge.
Yeah. But even fiber is like, you know, it's one of those things about it. Fiber is really, the extra RAIDs and fiber are really reliable, but there's better, I shouldn't say better, but there are storage technologies that are coming into play which are much cheaper to use than fiber.
But still, I mean, the thing to do is to put a fiber card in a G5 and buy an extra RAID.
I think it's the absolutely the most foolproof way if you wanted to basically do video storage is just get your X-Serve.
Rate that as zero, making sure it's full of drives, and you get what? Things are huge now, 6 terabytes?
Yeah, well, they start coming up with the 500 gigabyte drives. So, you know, that's really increased the amount of storage. And the next step is probably going to be 1 terabyte. Can you imagine, you know, just have like terabyte drives just sliding
those things
into
have, what, 6 sleds on right and left because it's backup because it's RAID 5.
Yeah.
I think it's default RAID 5 because you have a bank of one and the bank of others backed up what the first one is because that's what you really want.
Yeah, I mean that's a good way to go is to basically RAID things together because drives do fail and they fail at the worst inopportune times, and so it's always good to basically run RAID if you have applications that you really really care about, or you're working on projects that you could mean your life or death effectively. It's have them RAIDed together is a good way to go.
Well, let's say you're working on something for a guy and it's all been shot on P2. Again, you brought it all in digital, and your drives fail and you have no backup.
You have nothing.
It could be your life.
That could be your life. That's like, it's like.
That guy's going to come after you with an axe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's all been with the whole IT, with the digital workflow now that, you know, Panasonic's calling the IT workflow.
Yeah.
IT sounds like a bunch of heathen box, you know, cats to me. But, you know, either way, a digital non-taped, you know, digital workflow.
Yeah. I mean, you could lose everything. And I did have a customer once who lost, who had a hard drive that was only 2 weeks old, completely go down on him. And he lost an entire project on it. So it doesn't matter.
He had to redigitize everything and start from scratch? Or he lost it?
He lost it all. He had to pull the contents back from the DVD.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know, backing stuff up and tape. And what do you back up on anymore? That's why I think this Blu-ray deal rocks at 50 gigs.
Yeah, but you know, it's almost too small of an increment. I mean, you're already having like, you know, holographic storage, and I think the consumers aren't really ready to repurchase their entire library, you know, just because it's a little bit higher definition. Maybe some will, but it's probably going to fill the void like Laserdisc was, just kind of like inching along for years.
I think Laserdisc is still alive. You can buy those things still. I don't know if there's new movies on them, but I think they still sell some things. I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen Laserdisc players in a while. I mean, DVD just basically pulverized Laserdisc.
Yeah, it hurt them bad. You know, what are you going to do there? Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Evan Balsleen on. Evan is the creator of Mimeobots. These are very cool little USB drives, but they're custom tailored. They have a nice anime type of flair to them. So you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. You want to have your business cards printed, flyers, brochures. We had some great stuff done.
Oh, they just did such
beautiful.
An awesome job.
All in iWork.
Oh, yeah.
Right to Printing for Less. Boom.
Yeah.
Beautiful job.
Yeah, see, they'll get your printing. Whatever you submit, they will work to get your print to output.
Yeah, and we sent them a PDF out of, you know, not even like a full production PDF, just a goofy old PDF.
Yeah.
Save as an iWork.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the flyer is beautiful.
Oh,
full
yeah.
offset Heidelberg stuff, you know. This is regular, you know, full-blown, you know, ink on grease on steel. Real printing.
Yeah.
Not digital.
It's not tremendously expensive.
Yet.
I think it's like in per thousand, we're looking at like maybe 35 cents a print.
Oh, they were nice. They do
it's
nice
not expensive.
Stuff. So you check those guys out. They rock. Printingforless.com. Right now we have Evan and his designer. We have Evan and Sean. Evan Blaustein and Sean Smith. These guys are from Mimeo. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Scott, for having us.
Good. So give us a rundown.
Okay, so Mimo Co., that's our company. I'm the founder of Mimo Co., and we are a designer toy brand. We're a startup company, and we're a consumer electronics company as well. And what we do is we produce MimoBots. MimoBots are designer toys, first and foremost. They're created by artists. They are produced in limited quantities and come loaded with content designed by the artists. And they're basically USB flash drives. So they're functional USB flash drives that come in capacities from 256 to 2 gigabytes.
Wow, that's very cool stuff. Now you guys make them, and we have also have Sean Smith on with us. Sean is the designer of some of these, and he has a website called Seanimal. So let's. How you doing, Sean?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. So you guys design some of this stuff here for the MimoBots? Some of the design work. Tell us how you guys are working together here to make these cool flash drives.
Yeah, I'd love to. This is Evan, and basically what MimoBots are really all about is, it's a platform for artists to express themselves in a new medium. And we're using toys as a canvas, and then we're using the flash drive as a distribution medium for content. And the first series that we designed were we worked with Yahid Rodriguez. He's a designer in Mexico. And what we did was we loaded music by DJ DB onto the first series. That's a drum and bass artist. And then the second series was also designed by Yahid. And we worked with a UK-based artist, Peskimo, who created some mini animations and some games. And we loaded it onto the flash drives. And for our new series, we worked with Sean Smith, who's on the line here. And we're pretty psyched because Sean used the platform in kind of a new, novel way. I'll let him kind of describe that for you.
Cool.
Yeah, with the love-hate MimoBot series, basically, I mean, I as in Sean Smith, or Seanimals, I guess, we have this character called the Wii Ninja, and the whole deal with the Wii Ninja is that it's a cute ninja, so this duality always troubles it. It's cute, but he's an assassin. So, well, we kind of extrapolate on that, and we really wanted to work with something unique, and so we came up with the love-hate designs for the MimoBots.
What's really cool is that, MimoBots are about, USB flash drives and designer toys, but Sean is known for his handmade plush, and, Sean's really well known for his creations, and what he was actually able to do was, not only did he create, the love and hate MimoBots, but he also made some limited edition handmade plush in the MimoBot form factor with love and hate. And then, even cooler is that, loaded onto the MimoBot is a flash tutorial on how to make your own plush. So as if he used the canvas in kind of a new way that we've never really envisioned it being used.
Evan, how do we get more information? We got about 30 seconds here. How do we get a hold of Seanimals and the MimoBots and all the cool stuff you guys are up to?
Yeah, MimoBots. It's you can check our website. It's MimoCo, M as in Mary, MimoCo.com. And basically, our target audience is 18 to 32. They're creative professionals. MimoBots are also sold in stores around the world, designer toy boutiques, art museums, museum shops, and places like that. So check them out, and we'd love to see you guys over there.
Cool. Thanks. That was Evan and Sean. You can check them out at MimoBots.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check him out Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we have on the line Andrew Darlow. Andrew had a few minutes here. He wanted to talk about Adobe's Lightroom. He's been playing with it, and we want to chat with him. How you doing, Andrew?
Good, good. How you doing there, Scott and Brad?
How
good.
You doing? Hey.
So tell me, you've been playing around with Lightroom. What's your thoughts?
Lightroom's it's great. It's a great start for Adobe. There's all kinds of cool stuff. I can give you the quick rundown of what I'm finding on it, if you'd like. First of all, the interface I'm finding is excellent. As far as just looking at it on a 17-inch PowerBook, is really, really great. You can definitely work The raw files come up very quickly. You can view them at one-to-one, so you can see exactly what the raw files look like. And essentially, it's built in four sections. So, and it's very easy to learn. So I just want to highlight some of the main things. One is the library. You can look at your images. You can put star ratings on them. You can keyword them. And then you can quickly shift-click on different pictures, and you compare them right away. Compare and then rate them. So you can see 3, 4, 10, it really doesn't matter, pictures right up there, and then you can look at them full screen. Then you can make quick edits to your raw files in the quick develop mode. And then one of the greatest little features is the L key. What that does is it dims all the outside areas, but it keeps your images looking bright. And then if you hit the L key twice, then you get a full black screen. So it's really nice for just viewing.
Wow. Yeah.
There's a great overview, by the way, at Peter Crow's site. He does a nice little overview at damuseful.com. That's for digital asset management, damuseful.com. So take a look at that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, how does this compare? I mean, how do you think? You've been playing around with Aperture too, right?
Yeah, I have. Aperture is great. I'm a longtime user of a lot of digital asset management programs. My other favorite is iView Multimedia Pro. Each one does a different thing. So it's hard to say. Like, it's not necessarily that one is better than another. One is definitely maybe better for someone who runs a stock business. One might be better for one who does a sports photography. So it's just a matter of getting into them and trying them out.
Sure, sure.
But, I mean, I can continue on Lightroom because there's just so much.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes here, so let's continue on.
So one of the cool features that carries through all four of the modes is the film strip view. So regardless of whether you're in like the library mode or you're in the develop or slideshow or the print mode, you have that nice film strip right across the bottom of the screen. You can always get into that, and you can make your pictures different sizes across the bottom, and you can collapse it if you want. There's also a very nice way of just kind of letting your screen, your mouse, go to the right side, and you can get a lot of the menus pop out, sort of like when you set your dock to collapsible, to show and hide. So that's really nice. And the slideshow mode is great. You can make custom slideshows, put in any background, shadows, text, and then you can also make a simple web photo gallery, which I hope they expand on. And one of the keys to this Lightroom is that it's beta, and people should send Adobe their comments, because I already sent a whole bunch, and you know I expect them to take those very seriously. And your interview with the gentleman at Macworld said that as well. So apart from that, printing is great. I printed to a color laser printer. I printed like 300 to 400 images extremely quickly, and you can set it up beautifully in all kinds of very specific templates. You can save templates, and you can set it to either go in and process each raw file, or you can get it to go into draft mode, which was even great, up to like 8 by 10 inches. So it's fantastic.
Andrew, how do we get more information on your site, your email list? What's going on with Andrew? How do we find out?
Okay, you can go to andrewdarlow.com or insidemacradio.com, sign up for my newsletter, and you'll be getting a lot of information, tips on all kinds of goodies.
Cool. Thanks. That was Andrew Darlow. Like you said, you can go to InsideMacRadio.com and subscribe right there. We'll be right back with Apple Computer.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show brought to you by OSX FAQ. If you want all the cool information, daily tips on Mac OS X, on Unix on Mac, on design tips, news from Mac Minute, Mac updates, great things from Apple, check it out, OSXFAQ.com. Right now we're joined again by our buddy at Apple, Xander Soren, the king of iLife 06, and now we're going to talk about GarageBand and iWeb. How are you doing?
Doing great. Great to be back.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. So let's talk about, and I think something you really dig is GarageBand.
Absolutely. So, you know, GarageBand has been something over the last couple of years that has been really exciting for us to track, because I would say at this point it's probably become the most widely distributed and most popular music creation app out there. Of course, you know, it comes with every Mac as a part of iLife. So this year we've done something pretty exciting with GarageBand, because we've seen over the last year podcasting just exploding in popularity. And we've also seen that a lot of people have been using GarageBand, not as a music creation tool over this last year, but to kind of create their podcasts. So we really focused on podcasting this year and put a lot of exciting features into GarageBand to really help people get the most out of it and make it the ultimate podcast creation studio.
Yeah, it's definitely that. There's a bunch of new stuff. Now tell us, what kind of user have you seen that's interested in making a podcast? Is this like a general Mac deal, or you think everybody's wanting to just do a podcast now?
I think there's a lot of people now that are going to want to make these. And, you know, if you look and you go all the way back to January of 2005, which is ancient and, you know, technology times, and you look at what a podcast is, and I think a lot of your listeners out there are, you know, listening to your show as a podcast, but some people forget how far it's come from, I think, the early days. You know, a podcast was essentially an MP3 file. You add RSS information so that people can subscribe, and then they can kind of check in and subscribe to your audio show every week.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
In the middle of the year, Apple really kind of led the way in improving that experience. You know, we introduced iTunes. Back then it was iTunes 4.9, which added this entire podcast directory into the music store. And then we've seen with iPod adding photo and video capability, we've developed this new file format called the Enhanced Podcast File, which just creates a much richer experience where you can actually have artwork embedded in, you can have chapter markers that allow you to navigate both in iTunes and on the iPod. So I think what we're seeing is, you know, people started getting involved with creating these richer podcasts, but, you know, as exciting as it was to be able to subscribe in iTunes and take them to go on your iPod, it wasn't really easy enough for everybody to be able to create them. You know, people didn't have that radio production expertise. They didn't know how to be able to host the podcast and get it up on the internet for their listeners. So that's what we did with GarageBand. We really made it super easy to be able to author the podcast so that, you know, so everybody can now get involved and kind of share their message with the world.
Now, let's say if you're doing a podcast and there's a couple different people that work on it, is there a way to collaborate on podcasts if they're in different places using GarageBand?
Absolutely. You know, we were actually seeing with music creation, a lot of people are using GarageBand and sharing their project files across the internet. And, you know, one person will lay down some guitar, another person will put their bass track, and you can really have friends around the world to do that. And, you know, that's no different with a podcast. But the one thing that we're seeing is people like creating podcasts live, because sometimes they like to do the, you know, the live radio format, which is really popular. There's a feature that once again kind of shows off how Apple really understands how to integrate our technologies, and we're able to use the iChat application. So if we've got an audio or a video chat going, and then we launch the new GarageBand 3, and we're creating our podcast, once we hit that record button, GarageBand knows that there's an iChat session available, and it'll actually grab each participant, give them their own audio track. You know, it does some cool things, like it'll pull your buddy name and your buddy icon to give it, you know, the track header in GarageBand. But the cool thing here is that everybody gets their own audio track. So the host, when you're done with the podcast and you're ready to maybe do one last scrub to make sure everything sounds good, it's not just everybody recorded into one track and then you're kind of stuck if somebody's coughing over somebody else or people are interrupting each other. You're able to actually go in and edit, you know, the individual tracks, and this is great. So as a host, you can have guests from around the world call in, and you can do that all using iChat.
Yeah, this is really cool, because, you know, we do this professionally, and you know, bringing this stuff into a multi-track environment like Logic or Pro Tools to do what you're talking about, that now you can do this in GarageBand with iChat. I mean, the audio quality on iChat is better than telephone.
Right.
You get better recordings in iChat than we get over thousands of dollars of expensive digital equipment to bring you on the phone right now. And you can do this in GarageBand, and it's free, and it's really cool.
Yeah, and you've got all this equipment available to you. You've got some expertise, and you've got a team of people to help. We really wanted to build that all into GarageBand, so it's got the technology that you need. You know, a new iMac right out of the box that has a built-in mic. You can record your podcast using that. We've got the built-in expertise of a radio engineer. So if you're doing your podcast We provide some jingles and some sound effects to make your podcast sound more exciting. But then as you're recording your voice and you've got background music going, we've got a feature called ducking, which is like an engineer kind of riding a fader that as you're talking, the music backs off so that your voice is, can make sure that it's heard. And then as you're done talking, the music comes back in. So just a lot of great features to make it really easy for people to kind of do their own radio show and create their own pretty rich podcast.
Really, for what it costs, you go out and buy a new iMac. Intel Dual 2 gigahertz machine is cheaper than going out just to buy the phone equipment to do a podcast traditionally. I mean, you're better off just going to buy a new Mac and do it in GarageBand.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Not only is it going to sound better, it's going to look better because GarageBand allows you to use this new podcast track we have. So you can add artwork right from your iPhoto library. You can even use keynote slides to add some bullets that, kind of reinforce your speaking points as you're talking. And then people are able to see that both in iTunes and on their iPods, creating podcasts that look really great.
Now, one question I've always had about GarageBand, is it saving internally, maybe this is like going a little bit over your head, maybe you can't talk about this, but internally with Core Audio, there's a floating point, 32-bit floating point format. Does GarageBand use that so everything you record is saved 32-bit floating point?
Well, it's a good question. So the engine that GarageBand is built on, we share a lot of our great technologies across our different apps. It's built entirely on Core Audio. We share the same engine with Logic. So everything internally is mixed. If you use effects and things, they are done at 32-bit. The actual audio output of GarageBand is all CD quality. So it's always at 16-bit, 44.1, for those tech guys that are interested in that. But then, of course, when you're dealing with things like web formats and you want to make those smaller, the podcast file uses AAC, which allows it to sound really great, but have a much smaller footprint.
You need the dynamic range before you start making adjustments, though.
Yeah, but isn't that cool that it does it in 32-bit? That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
For free software that comes with a Mac.
Yeah.
Now, Xander, okay, so I've done all this cool stuff in GarageBand. I export out. Now there's iWeb. I can actually publish my podcast now.
Yeah, so a lot of people, scratch their heads like, okay, so I've created a podcast. Where do I put it? How do I get that RSS information in there? And, how do I get it up on the web for people to subscribe to? And that's where iWeb comes in. So, not only, of course, is iWeb great for this one-click handoff from GarageBand 3 to iWeb, iWeb is about putting your entire life on the web, and that's, being able to easily create a beautiful website, and kind of in that way you'd expect from Apple, fully integrated with all your iLife media.
Yeah, the only problem in playing around with iWeb, which I really wish there was domain forwarding, because when you create a site in iWeb, the URL isn't actually pointing directly to your .Mac account. It actually goes in with a kind of a more cryptic URL. Is there any way around that?
Yeah, good feedback. You actually, both with any website that you create, as well as any podcast in GarageBand, you can, of course, use .Mac, which is great because you can publish that to the world and have it hosted with just one click. There are some people that are going to want to do, host it themselves or control the URL, and you can basically save a local copy to your drive. And then if you have that technical ability and what needs to happen from there, you can certainly do that. So you're not tied to the .Mac experience. But .Mac is great for, I think, a lot of the novices and the people that don't have that storage space ready to go, and that team of IT guys to help them manage it.
Oh, exactly. I mean, like you said, you get a new Mac, you got this, you've done stuff in GarageBand, you built some cool pages in iWeb, you get a .Mac account, you hit a button, the stuff's done. I mean, it's just a seamless workflow. It's so cool. Let's talk about a couple things here. We have about a minute and a half left, though, but let's hit on a real part of, there's a new version of Keynote.
There is a new version. Yeah, there's actually a new version of iWork. We've got iWork 06, which is a new version of Keynote, new version of Pages. And what we should probably do is get somebody on the show from Apple that can really go deep into both those apps, so we can tell your listeners what they're both about.
Right, but it's so cool that iWeb shares some of the similarities with Keynote and Pages. It's very intentional. I mean, it's a great integration with the way they've worked in with each other.
Right. Well, I love Pages, and I like the way that iWeb works because it's built around that same sort of look and feel where you can kind of type anywhere, you can do text, really nice formatting tables, you can do all of those things. Was that originally when iWeb came out, was that a design goal to preserve that?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because it's we've obviously had Pages now for a year, and people love that graphic canvas and the ability to create these awesome pages, essentially. And one of the feedback or the questions that we got from people is, well, what if I want to take this beautiful thing that I designed and just save that single page out as HTML? So, we kind of took that into consideration and said, you really don't want to save a single page as HTML. You want a great app that's going to let you build entire websites using that graphically rich canvas. So, of course, you know, we had this great graphic canvas, this great architecture. We built an entire application on that to be able to create these beautiful web pages.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd like to get you back talking more about iLife 06 and all the stuff with iMovie. You can check out everything Xander Soren's doing and all the stuff at apple.com/iLife.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Inside Print Radio. This is a brand new show we just launched here. You can go to insideprintradio.com. This is a radio program all about the printing industry. So if you're listening Inside Mac and you have anything to do with printing, as in real printing, not like inkjet stuff, but this is like, you know, huge Heidelberg type ink on paper, big grease metal roller spinning around, spitting out paper and doing all the things with the print industry, you can check us out. It's a weekly show, insideprintradio.com. So, you know, like we said, the Zibble Xander was cool. There's so many things to talk about. We didn't even talk about iMovie or iDVD.
Yeah, you know, it really is amazing because you can do so much new stuff with iMovie and iDVD and with this whole iLife suite that it really feels like 2 years or more of upgrades in this one from 5 to 6.
Yeah, they made it. Everything's new.
Everything is
a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really, if you haven't checked it out, go down and pick it up at the Apple Store. It solves a lot of problems for you.
I checked it out. I mean, I actually went and paid for it.
Yeah.
Did you buy it too?
Oh, I bought it too, yeah.
Yeah, and Apple wants to send us free copies of it, and I went and bought it right away.
Yeah, I didn't have time to wait.
It's worth the dough.
That's like not going to wait.
No, and that just shows you that if it's good enough to pay for us, because we get everything free pretty much.
Yeah,
a great app.
Oh, it's
love
fantastic.
The thing.
Yeah, and I think like things like iWork as well are like way more valuable than the $79 price that they come with. I like Pages and Keynote just so much. I mean, I do some of the Inside Mac TV slides in Keynote, you know, that I put in there, and that saves me just a ton of work. I wish they would do more with that. And I love Pages. I mean, we did those flyers for the trade show.
Yeah, and it's just like Pages, just like iWeb. It's just like you drag things around and just drop them and.
Yeah.
This stuff works.
Yeah.
You don't need all these grids and all these special things. And I mean, hey, we love Adobe and I use InDesign and Go Live and all this high-end stuff. But it's so nice sometimes just to open up an app and go click, drop, drag. Hey, cool, look at that.
Yeah.
Dude, it's done.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I really like one of the things that you know, I've used in the past is Illustrator to do these flyers. And what I really like Pages is the fact is it handles text much better than Illustrator. It's easier to align text. It's easier to do these type of things.
Well, it uses the same alignment, I think, technology as Keynote does.
Yeah.
When you go to align stuff on the grid, it just automatically pops up and these yellow lines show up.
Yep.
And you just drag your stuff around. And
yeah, it saves you a ton of time. Plus, it has spell check. And that's a huge thing because, you know, from a guy that's in a technical field, spelling just isn't my strong suit.
Well, you got to worry about numbers and algorithms.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's more, you know, things to worry about.
Math type of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's great stuff.
Yeah, worth checking out. I mean, it's what is interesting this year is that they didn't give you iWork for free when you bought your new Macs. And that was a big change. I mean, I can't really imagine why they just did a 30-day trial. But you used to get it for free. And now it's just a 30-day trial.
I mean, yeah, well, still, though, I mean, you get, you know, iWork, you get Keynote and Pages for $79. I mean,
it's a heck of a deal.
If you think about it, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but $80 is like what it costs to go to dinner for two people.
Yeah, especially in San Francisco. That's like that's like one drink.
Yeah, it almost is. I mean, you know, we go to lunch, it costs $80. So,
oh, yeah.
Really, if you think about it, it's a really good buy.
It is. And really, I'm surprised that, you know, I think Apple is, this is some of the best technology that Apple's come up with, you know, because it allows you to do text in a whole new way. Whereas traditional word processors are sort of static. You know, they have sort of a page flow interface, whereas with Pages, you can just type anywhere and you can align text anywhere in the page. And so it's a lot more flexible. It's more like a, you know, like PageMaker, the older applications.
It is. Hey, I'd like to thank the guests of today's Inside Mac show. We had Lori Abrams on, the dog painter. You can check her deal out. Go to Inside Mac Radio for the link. We had Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. Sam Levin doing his cool Mac picks, talking about some nice little speakers for your iPod. We had Xander Soren on, the king over there at Apple. He is actually, here's his exact title, he's a senior product line manager for the iLife marketing team. So he knows everything about iLife. We had Xander on. Later on, we had Andrew Darrow talking about Spectrum Aperture. We had the guys on from MimioBots. And, of course, you've been here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff for your Mac.